Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day this morning for many reasons. A lot of emotions, a lot of thoughts come into my mind. If you're kind of wondering what I have in front of me, you probably know it's an iPad. But I was counseled by several to make sure I had something to hold down my notes. And I couldn't help but think of the best paperweight that I have to use is an iPad. I mean, that's about all I use it for anymore is a paperweight. I don't know about you, maybe you use yours more than I have used mine, but that's about all I use it for anymore. It's just something to hold down paper. So I thought, why not just email it to myself, my notes, and then I can read it. And I can hold this page as the wind blows this page as I talk about holding my pages down. But as I get started, I just from the very get-go, I want to read the verse that really just drives the message today, this morning that I have for you. And it is Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I love that word, trust. Trust in the Lord forever. As we were singing, it is well with my soul. His name leads me, the writer of the hymn, but you might have heard the story of the writer of the hymn of It Is Well With My Soul, that he had lost his entire family in a boating accident, in a ship that had come across the sea. And when he had heard about his family that had perished, he wrote that hymn. And I couldn't help but think as we were singing that hymn that even though his family had perished from this earth, he couldn't help but think that it is well with my soul. A couple of thoughts that came to me was, you know, one of the verses where it says, Lord, haste the day when faith shall be sight. So he couldn't help but long to see his family once again, but he knew that he had trust in God. And that trust in God is what allowed him to be able to sing, it is well with my soul, even though the circumstances dictated otherwise. And a portion of Scripture, a passage in Scripture, came to my mind as we were singing that, of why you can have trust in God. This doesn't go with the message necessarily, but I wanted to read these verses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, that's Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but putting off of the body of flesh, by putting on the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, which you were also raised with Him through faith and the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, this is how we can have trust in Jesus today. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. We had not just made mistakes. We were not to where we were okay sometimes, but not okay. We were all dead in our sins. We were dead. We were lifeless. And if we ended right there, what horrible news that would be, right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our faith is futile and we are amongst all people most to be pitied. But, two of the most beautiful words in Scripture, right? But God. But God made alive together with Him, having forgiven all of our trespasses. Man, praise be to God. And listen to this, by canceling your record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this Jesus set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. That is how you can say it is well with my soul when your family has perished on a boat in the ocean. Because you can have trust in God because He disarmed the rulers. He nailed your sin and my sin and the sins of the entire world to the cross. and absorbed the wrath of God on his body, his broken and beaten, and as Isaiah describes, his disfigured body, so much so the world did not recognize who he was. But that's not my message for today. My message is from Isaiah 26:4, but I couldn't help but think of that passage as we were thinking, "It is well with my soul," and the faith it would take to say, "It is well with my soul, though your family had perished." But I couldn't help but think that the word that came to mind and the word that I have for you this morning is trusting in the Lord, who is the everlasting rock. The everlasting rock. Jesus, as he tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus is the same, the writer of Hebrews does, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. There will never not be a time where Jesus is not untrustworthy. There will never be a time in your life or mine where there comes a point in life, although it may seem that at times. There are dark times that have come upon our lives before. And there are dark times that will come upon our lives now. And you might think, the thought might come to your mind, the feeling, the emotion might come to your heart and your mind and your soul deep down. And as Romans 8 tells us, there are things that are so deep that we cannot express back to God, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings. Romans 8. But God, even though there are dark times in our lives, we can still trust in the Lord because He is the everlasting rock. All things may fade away, but Jesus, the rock, will endure. I want to thank Alan Shaver and the committee for their work, for all the time that they put in. I just want to thank them for being gracious, the time they spent in research and interviewing, praying, the people of Hales Chapel, for your prayers, not just for me, but for all who came before me, the hard work that's been done, all the setup this morning, the praise team and Lloyd, all this that has been done, not just this morning, but the mornings before. I want to thank Dr. James for being a faithful servant, for his kindness towards me, for being a gracious host to me. I want to thank my friends and teachers, who I wouldn't be here today if someone had not shared the good news of Jesus Christ to me. I remember my mother taking me into my sister's room just about every Sunday until I said yes. Now there's a man named Jesus, and he loves you, and he died for your sins. Would you come to him today? She would bring me and my sister when we came of age to be able to understand that. My parents raised me in the church. I had many Sunday school teachers. I had RA leaders. I had a youth pastor who was at the church that I grew up at for 27 years as youth pastor there, raising me in evangelism and in discipleship. The many faithful men that have led me in classes at seminary that I've been to. My family, my extended family, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, and the legacy that I've learned about through the years of my dad's family planting a Southern Baptist church in Northern Kentucky in the 50s, and not learning about this until my dad's funeral, that he, as a 10-year-old boy, helped his friend set up chairs at a church in the 50s. And I can't help but thank God for my family that He's given me today. My wife and my kids. Just the joys that the Lord gives me every day with them, the laughter that we have, the love that we have towards each other. I don't know about you, but I love strong coffee. Does anybody like coffee? Anybody? A few? Okay. All right. I love coffee. I started out drinking coffee with a lot of cream, a little bit of sugar. Like, you want a little bit of coffee with that cream and sugar. But I drink it just totally black now. If you haven't gone that way, man, that is the way to go. I love just that bold taste in the morning. If you'd like to, this is just an open invitation. I'd love to have some coffee with you one day. But I went to make coffee this morning, and I found this note. So I'm just going. I don't. hope that's okay. I didn't ask for her permission. But I found this note by the coffee pot today. Matthew, October 18th, 2020. So it's titled, Preaching in View of a Call at Hales Chapel Baptist, Zebulun. In case I forgot where the city was, I guess. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders lay their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that we may all see your prayers. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you save both yourself and your hearers. 1 Timothy 4:11 through 16. That's a good note to wake up to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the hard work put in to put screens up to make it a little bit warmer in here, Father. We thank you for the newness of this morning, how that reminds us that each word and each morning brings us word of your new mercies. Father, it is a blessing to wake up and see the sky and the sun and be immersed in your creation. And you are loving towards all that you have made. You are a great and grand and wonderful God. And I pray, Father, that we would seek you with every fiber of our being and love you with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as you have loved them. Father, I pray, God, that you would speak through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Is the title text this morning. I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, we have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Trust. The Hebrew word that we translate here as trust here in Isaiah chapter 26 verse 4 occurs 120 times in the Old Testament. You might have, maybe when you hear trust, maybe a hymn rings to your ears. Maybe something calls upon remembrance. A hymn written by John Samus in 1887, Trust and Obey. Maybe you've heard that hymn before. Trust and Obey. Maybe you're thinking the tune as I say it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Psalm 84, 11 and 12 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. So that very first point that comes to mind, that the text brings to mind, is our trust in God shall never cease. Look at that in the very beginning, verse 4. It says, trust in the Lord forever. God calls us to a time and calls us to a trust that we would never stop trusting in Him. Our trust in God should never cease. Our trust is built on God's past actions. As I mentioned before, Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Alan asked me to send my resume to him a week ago, I think, or so, to print out. We went to Disney World, so I sent it from my phone to him. I hope that came out okay. I hope the formatting wasn't too bad. But as I was searching for that resume to send to him, to resend to him, I was looking back through a couple of emails. And this is pretty cool how God works, right? And it's all about trust. God called us to this area that we just felt compelled that God called us to the area to come. Didn't really have anything at the moment, but God kept taking me to Genesis chapter 12. Where he told Abraham, go, and then I'll show you. So on June 5th, we loaded up our U-Haul and started traveling to the Raleigh-Durham area. And on the way there, we were closing on our house that we had bought up here. On the way there, I got an email from a friend and said, hey, someone came into my office and asked if anybody would be interested in a lead pastor. Ministry at a church, and I was wondering if you might be interested. I'd had conversations with this person before, but I hadn't really communicated in a couple months prior to that. But on the very day that we're driving our U-Haul up, I get that email. And it was an email, and the church was Hales Chapel Baptist Church. We come up, we close on our house, and we get up there. And that night also, our real estate agent back in Atlanta said, hey, good news to tell you. We have an offer on your house, and it's a really great offer. So in one day, we closed on our house up here. We got the offer that we accepted for our house down in the Atlanta area. And I submitted my resume to be pastor of Hales Chapel Baptist Church in one day. Genesis chapter 12. God told Abraham, go, and then I'll show you. But it took trust in Abraham for Abraham to go. But why did Abraham trust God? Because God had provided for Abraham, right? He was a trustworthy God. He was a God that had not left Abraham's side ever and would not leave Abraham's side in the future. God is a trustworthy God that if we put all of our faith and trust in Him, He will never let us down. He will never leave us or forsake us. I was almost dumbfounded, to be honest with you, when I opened that email up and I saw all those dates together. There's no way that it could have been any other way that God had orchestrated those events. One of the defining moments of my life happened at a grocery store checkout line. maybe you never had a defining moment in your life in a grocery store checkout line, but that's okay. I wasn't expecting to have one either. I was about 20 years old, and I was in Florida as a youth intern, and the youth pastor had just left, and God had called me to stay there to be the interim youth pastor for that year. I was only 20 years old. And I know I get this a lot. A lot of people think I'm a lot younger than I am. I know I'm not that old. I'll just go ahead and, if you're not aware, I'm 42, so I know I'm not too old. But some people say I look 10 years younger or so than that. So I was 20 years old, and parents would come and say, you know, we'd like to speak to the youth pastor, thinking I was probably one of the youth, and say, well, I'm him right now. But I remember in the grocery store checkout line at Cash and Carry in Venice, Florida, right off Old 41, I could take you to that very place now. My dad had given me a credit card for just incidentals. And I went to pull out that credit card because I didn't have a lot of money until I was paid the following Monday. I had about 4 days until I was going to be paid again. And the groceries I was getting wasn't a whole lot, but it was going to take up most of the money that I had in my bank account. And usually on the weekends, I would try to play putt-putt or something with the youth, hang out, maybe go to a movie or something like that. Didn't have a lot of extra money at that time. And I pulled my credit card out, and I just heard God asking me, do you trust me? I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, God, I trust you. And I did. I said, yes, God, I trust you. And He said, well, put the credit card back. And I said, God, I don't have a lot of extra money, as you may know. I'm having this conversation. I'm probably late at the checkout line. I wasn't saying anything out loud, I don't think. But I'm having this conversation in my mind, And I'm sure the lady was looking at me like, you know, are you going to pay for this or not? You know, just kind of waiting on me. And what seemed like, you know, hours for this conversation probably was only about 30 seconds or so. I said, yes, God, I trust you. And he said, then put the credit card away. I put the credit card away and I paid with the money that I had. But God set in motion during that year and following for the rest of my life that I could trust him no matter what. With the very little that I had, God was more than trustworthy. God was my provider for that year. God did great things around me and through me during that year. And God taught me during that time, the checkout line at the cash and carry, that I could trust him no matter what. That he would be my Jehovah Jireh, just as he was to Abraham, my provider. See, God will not take any time off. God's strength and trustworthiness will never cease. God's strength and his trustworthiness will never cease. He will never take time off where he becomes unworthy of our trust. That word there, the everlasting rock, that might be translated in your Bible this morning as strength also. Or the Lord is an everlasting strength. A few selections of verses speak to that. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. Isaiah 44:8, do not tremble or fear. Have I not told you and declared it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God but me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Isaiah 45:17, Israel be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or humiliated. God is an everlasting rock. There is no other God besides God. There is no other place or person or thing or idea or action that we can put our hope and trust in other than God, because he is the only one that will last. He is the only one. This world has many things competing for the trust of God, doesn't it? And oh, dear friend, this morning, dear believer in Jesus, do not put your hope or faith or trust in anything else or anyone or any campaign or any thought or any following than Jesus himself, because Jesus and Jesus alone is the everlasting rock, is the everlasting strength and the everlasting hope, our everlasting faith. He's the object of our faith. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He is the Good Shepherd. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, because his rod and his staff, it comforts us. That Psalm 23 is a great message to be heard at a funeral. It's also a great message to be recited every morning when we wake up and when we go to sleep. There's a couple more verses. Isaiah 32:2. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as in the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. So God's strength and trustworthiness will never cease. But I want to close with one last thought. What happens when you trust in God? What happens when we trust in God? Look at that verse 3 just before. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. What happens when we trust in God? He keeps us in perfect peace. we can see today. It doesn't take very long to turn on the news, or maybe to go outside to our workplaces, or when school comes back into schools, that there's not a whole lot of peace in this world. But Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers in His Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, because Jesus gives us His perfect peace. Peace is not something that we can do on ourselves. It's not something that we can conjure up on our own. It's something that as a gracious gift of God to us and in us and through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us, when Jesus comes into your life as a believer, that He can give you His perfect peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is awesome good news this morning, and from here on out as we go, as we live our lives each and every day, as we go out, that even though that we may be in conflict, whether it's relationships at home, at work, at school, on sports teams, wherever God may take you through the week, that the peace of God can transcend all understanding that He gives you. Believer in Christ this morning, my petition to you, my petition to myself, is that we would trust in the Lord God, because He is an everlasting rock. And when we do, that trust that we have in Him, He will grant us peace that passes all understanding. Perfect peace. Peace without blemish. Peace without any strings attached. He is a gracious God. He is a God that loves us, that loves you, that loves me, that loves the entire world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him, that he should not perish, but have everlasting life. So just one thought as I close this morning. No matter what, we can trust in God. No matter what circumstance arises, no matter if it's COVID, change in general, the election coming up, general uncertainty, we can trust in God no matter what. We know that He is the everlasting rock. Nothing moves Him. Nothing can sway Him. Nothing can outlast His love towards His children. Nothing can ever get in the way of His love towards us as His children. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says that we have been sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can do that can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8 tells us. There's neither height nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No change can separate us from the love of God. No uncertainty in this world can separate us from the love of God. No sickness, no virus, no pandemic can separate us from the love of God. We can put all of our hope and trust in God because we shall not have any fear in Him. Psalm 27 is one of my favorite verses. The Lord is my stronghold. In whom shall I fear? Though an enemy rises a camp against me, I will have no fear. No fear. And it's not because of what I can do. It's not the strength that I have. It's not the words that come into my mouth. It's not the preparation that I have. that I have no fear is because I have trust in God. And God has moved in the past before, not in just my life, but in the path of many others. And then I know that God, since He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He will be there with me in the future, no matter what the future looks like. And that same God that promises that to me, promises that to you, and for everyone that hears this message, and that everyone that He has created in His image. God loves every person that He created them in His image, but we are not given the right to become children of God until we put our faith and trust in Him. John 1:12. So whether it's change, COVID, the election, or general uncertainty, He loves us, and He will never be at a time in His life, ever for a split second, one that is untrustworthy. God is in control, and He is powerful, and He is worthy of all of our worship. May we trust and obey in the God that we should have no fear, because He is our everlasting rock. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for Your Word. The grass may fade, the flowers may wither, but the Word of the Lord will endure forever. Father, we thank You for being a God that is strong, that can take our doubts and our uncertainties, our lack of conviction sometimes, our fear, and absorb those. And God, You give us Your strength, and You give us Your trust, and You give us the perfect peace that passes all understanding. May we as the people go out today trusting in You as our everlasting rock, our everlasting strength. Strength will always endure no matter what the circumstances are. For You are a God that is almighty. You are a God that is above all other gods. And You are a God most worthy to be praised.